This recording, Iowa 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Kama, Kama, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure.
Well, let me think. After I graduated from high school, I went to college at the University of Iowa in Iowa City. And following in my older sister's footsteps, who was already there for a year, I lived in a dormitory, which at that time was all women, and ended up with a roommate who was very near the area, who was from the area that I was also from. In fact, we both grew up on a farm, and our farms were only probably 6 miles apart. We did not know each other, however, because we went to different school districts, but we got to know each other. We did have one mutual friend in our high school years because the friend, which she knew from school, attended the same church that I went to. Anyway, we had great fun as roommates and did crazy things, living in the dorm as well as just having fun socially with other people during that first year. I did graduate in December of 1977 from the University of Iowa and got married then in February of 1978. We were looking for a place that my husband would be able to practice law, and I would be able to work as a dietitian. So we ended up here in Osage, Iowa, which is in northern Iowa. And after moving to Osage, after being here a couple years, we had our first child, just married herself this past summer. And then 3.5 years later, our son was born, who is currently applying for medical school in Iowa City, and will be married next summer. So they have everything reserved, and she actually has ordered her dress, and we just saw them today before we headed home, and she said her dress is actually here already. So she's not going to go and, you know, get fitted for it yet, obviously, but they have made a lot of the decisions, and things are reserved, and so they'll be getting married in a church in Iowa City, and reception is actually in it was a church previously, and it's now been converted into a reception or a venue for larger parties. It's called Old Brick Church. That's what it's referred to. And it's basically right on campus, just down the street from where I would have lived in the dorm. So for Pete's sake, I kept thinking I should do that on our way from Iowa City to home. And then I thought, no, because we always run into this dead spot and calls get dropped. And I thought, sure enough, we'd be talking and that would happen. And then when we got home, everything kind of just, you know, went out of my head.